and sisters, it's an honor to be here with you this morning. My name is Father Jacob Willig, and I'm from just across the border there in Oxford. I'm the new chaplain there at the Catholic Newman Center, and of course filling in for Father Meyer today. And I know that he wanted me to express to you all that, of course, he's just experiencing classic symptoms of, you know, fever, body aches, chills, and that kind of thing. And he wanted to reassure you, though, that he's under great care, and he's so grateful for the outpouring of food and love, and he finds them so amazing. So please keep him in your prayers, and he will definitely keep you updated. In our first reading today, we hear Moses speaking to the people. And he's teaching them, of course, to closely follow God's laws. And, of course, that's what Jesus is speaking about, following God's law, and the Jews following the human laws in our gospel today also. But we hear Moses encouraging the people to follow the law of the Lord. But he's also encouraging them because they've been faithful at this time. He says, "This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people. For what great nation is there that has gods so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him?" So it's beautiful as we see him commending them for being faithful to the Lord and how they are a great and wise nation in that. And why is it that they are wise and great? Because they have been obedient, right? That they are made holy in God's sight. Of course, it is an honor to be here at All Saints. Father Meyer is my spiritual director and a good friend, and just the reverence that you have here and the devotion and the orthodoxy. Just know that this parish, All Saints Parish, and now I know the new region, just a great beacon of hope, of joy, of evangelization, of orthodoxy. And so I just want to encourage you. I know you're going through some changes right now, but to just be encouraged. You are a witness to the world of what parish transformation can look like. And the world needs that hope, you know, and so we're called to share that good news of what the Lord is doing in our life. Right, to be that great nation, to realize that obedience actually does help us to know the joy, right? To know the joy of the Holy Spirit when we're in line with what God calls us to do. And what a joy that is. And our world doesn't really understand that often, right? The beauty of obedience. Secondly, today I wanted to speak a little bit about that letter from James. I love the letter of James. I'd encourage you to read it sometime. It's a very short letter, but I think it is packed full of wisdom. And it says, remember, all good giving and every perfect gift is from above, right? So we remember that every single thing that we receive is from God the Father. You know, as Moses was telling the people, you know, encouraging them, telling them they are a wise and great nation, but it's because they realize they're under the obedience of God, right? That they received so much from him. And that's why we come here, to come to this Eucharist, right? The Eucharist meaning thanksgiving. We come before our Lord today to give him honor. Because we realize that he has given us all good things. All good things come from the Lord, from the Father. So what is our response to the Father but thanksgiving? Right? To give thanks and praise to the Lord. That's why we're here today. But also to give witness to that. Right? To show that our Lord is the one who has given us this joy and this peace which is beyond all understanding. So that no matter what is going on in our lives, we can have that peace. If you could recall that story of Paul and Silas in prison at midnight, right? They've just been beat up, and there they are giving praise to the Lord, singing hymns, giving praise to our Heavenly Father. So beautiful. Definitely having that peace, that joy, which is beyond all understanding. And that's what we desire to have. And that's what the Lord wants to give us in the midst of being obedient and following the Lord faithfully. James also continues in that second reading. He says, humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Of course, we have that living word we receive today. We have Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit incarnate in us in our baptisms. We come to receive the living word, Jesus Christ, in the Holy Eucharist today. But it's so good as we receive that word, we're also called to share that with others, right? To help save the souls of others, to give witness to this hope that we have. Because our world is in such need of hope. And we need perseverance in that, right? No matter what's going on, to know that the Holy Spirit is present to us. And I began to think this week, of course, we had St. Monica, St. Augustine, two amazing saints. I think it's so beautiful that we have one feast day, of course, the mother, and then the next day, her son's feast day. And you're probably, maybe you're familiar with St. Monica and her story, but I thought I would tell part of that because she is a woman of hope. She's a woman who continually persevered, a woman of patience. I think a model for all mothers, for all wives, but really for all of us too. She is an amazing woman who continually persevered in hope, despite what was going on in her life. Of course, St. Monica is the mother of St. Augustine, the doctor of the church, but he wasn't always, living the life of sanctity that he did towards the middle and the end of his life. St. Monica lived in northern Africa in the 4th century, and she married a man named Patricius, and he was a pagan, and he and his mother, so it would have been Monica's mother-in-law, they both had problems with anger. And maybe you could relate in your family. I know in my family, we're imperfect, right? You know, there's always something going on, but you can imagine St. Monica living in this family where anger was a big issue. But she persevered, right? She had hope. And they were not Christians either. But by the time that they passed on before that, they converted. They became Christian because of her witness, because of her continual love, because of her continual prayers, her sacrifices, her joy. You know, she brought that hope in God through her patience, through her perseverance. Both of them were converted. And so she had that persistent hope in her life, that persistent joy, that persistent peace, never being discouraged. And brothers and sisters, it's so important to never be discouraged. That's like one of the only tools that Satan has, is to discourage us. So never be discouraged. You know, never give in to the negativity that could just drag us down. In every moment, we could give praise to the Lord in our lives, just as Job did. And know that God does give us all good things. So St. Monica continually persisted. Of course, she had her son Augustine, right, who was rebellious, who studied the pagan religion of the times, you know, who lived with his girlfriend, who had a child out of wedlock, and he kind of did some of those things we heard about in the gospel today, right? You know, evil thoughts on chastity, theft. He tells a story about him stealing stuff when he was younger. But St. Monica is not discouraged, right? She is a witness to hope. And even at one point, her son Augustine left her kind of suddenly. He left and went across the Mediterranean over to Italy, over to Milan. And he didn't really tell her he was going. But she wanted to be present to him, right? There's so much power in being present. You know, even if maybe those in your family or friends or whoever don't really care for you at times, or maybe some of your kids, you know, don't care for you, but there's a power in presence, right? You could just show your love for the other by being present. And so she goes across the Mediterranean to be present to her son. And not only that, but she searches out the local bishop, who's an amazing man, who happens to be none other than the one that would become Saint Ambrose. So Saint Ambrose was there in Milan, and he was a great preacher. And so she sought him out for advice. And not only that, but Augustine eventually sought him out too, because Augustine was concerned about public speaking. He wanted to be a great orator, which was a thing of the time. And it's amazing how, of course, it was the years and years of prayer and sacrifices of Monica, but the Lord often wants to use someone else, right, to convert, to help bring our family to conversion. And so one day when Augustine was there listening to Ambrose, he was really cut to the heart. And afterwards, the Lord said to him and spoke to his heart and said, "Take up and read, take up and read." And so he began to read the scriptures, and the Lord spoke directly to him. And that really began his conversion. And so he was finally converted at the age of 31, and his mother had been praying for him for 17 long years, right? Praying and sacrificing, you know, offering her tears or prayers, so much out of love for her son. And so in this, we see, too, that she was made a saint. And now we have St. Augustine, who went on to be one of the most prolific writers we have in the early church, who's a doctor of the church, who not only has written so much about theology, but also just beautiful poetry in love for our Lord. You know, you may have heard part of his writings, and he says those words, "Late have I loved you. Late have I loved you, ever ancient, ever new." And he speaks of his faith in finding that peace, and finding that peace of Jesus Christ. You know, that he was searching, but he did not find it outside in the world. And then he burned for that peace which is beyond all understanding, and he found that in Jesus Christ, when he turned aside from things of the world and began to follow the Lord faithfully. So brothers and sisters, may we know too that the Lord wants to give us that joy and that hope, but also to have that perseverance in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, in being that witness to the world. And it all begins with becoming holy ourselves, right? To know the grace of God. May we know that and continually strive in this life of joy, this life of peace, but also in sacrifice and perseverance. We heard in our first reading today from Moses, what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him?